Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. This week, we spoke with Linda Tentawi, the CEO of Susan G. Comer Greater New York City, about the organization and how it helps women with breast cancer.
We are the pink ribbon that runs throughout the greater New York City area, connecting hospitals and other advocacy organizations, as well as the community groups on the ground who are doing the work.
Part of the organization's mission is helping individuals to understand breast cancer. So to help, Linda discussed some common misconceptions surrounding the disease.
Misconceptions start at the very beginning, where women think that because they have no family history of breast cancer, that they are not at risk of breast cancer. And my sister was one of those women. Shortly after I started at Susan G. Komen, I asked my sister, who was probably 43 at the time, when the last time was she had a mammogram. She said, "Well, I've never had a mammogram." And I said, "Well, I can't be the CEO of Susan G. Komen if you haven't had a mammogram. Go get your mammogram." So she went and got her mammogram and was diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 43. So, it's a common misconception, but we know that, in fact, most women who are diagnosed with breast cancer, I think it's 80%, have no family history of breast cancer. So that's common, and then it kind of runs through the whole journey, where people think that if there's a, you know, they think that mammograms cause breast cancer, which we know they don't. People think that if there's a diagnosis, God forbid, that they have to act as quickly as possible and just take care of it. And we know that most of the time, there is at least some time for second opinions, and there is time to ponder what the best avenue is.
To help combat these misconceptions, Linda noted that it's all about educating women.
We like to talk about education as opposed to awareness. I think Susan G. Komen in particular gets a really bad rap about spending money on awareness. And we do not spend money on awareness. We spend money to educate patients and to educate the community. And certainly I've seen in the New York Times writers saying, well, who doesn't know about breast cancer? Well, we know that if you're a recent immigrant from Southeast Asia, even if you're 50, you probably have never had a mammogram. People in your culture, that woman's culture, don't talk about breasts, never mind breast cancer. So we know that there are pockets, women from the Middle East, that do need to be educated and do need to know their risk for breast cancer. So it really is, and that's one of the reasons that we fund patient navigators. The patient navigators ensure that women are getting first to screening, right? So that's the first step, ensuring that women are getting screened. And then if there's a finding, ensuring that there's no time to the diagnostics. We fund an organization called Sharsheret that works with the Jewish community and the ultra-Orthodox community. We know that that's an issue in the ultra-Orthodox community. So we fund Sharsheret to make sure that the needs of that community are being met in terms of being culturally competent to serve that community. So it's understanding where the pockets are and then reducing the myths about breast cancer to the extent that we can. And Susan G. Komen plays a large part of that all across the country, ensuring that we are educating and reducing those myths.
Linda also discussed a common misconception that many are still unaware of, the fact that men can actually get breast cancer too.
Male breast cancer is very rare, so I try not to be alarmist about it because it is a very, very rare disease. We obviously do some education about male breast cancer. I think the biggest problem with male breast cancer is the stigma attached to it. Men, I don't have breasts. Well, yes, you do. And it tends to be diagnosed at a very late stage because it's ignored for so long. So we've just encouraged men, as we encourage women, to know your body and to be aware of changes. And if there are changes that you should always talk to your doctor.
According to Komen Greater New York City's website, 80% of the organization's funding is focused on innovative programs that provide patient navigation and case management for screening and treatment.
So we fund community-based programs. Some are through hospitals, and some are at federally qualified health centers. And we ensure that women, no matter where they are, whether they are in Rockland County, Westchester, Queens, Staten Island, way out in Suffolk County, Long Island, where there are real pockets of disparities and real pockets of poverty, are getting the same quality of care as you would if you were in Manhattan. So I would encourage people to go on our website to see the grants that we are funding. And then obviously if they wanted to reach out to those organizations to see how they could volunteer, we would of course encourage people to do that. But we also think it's important to fund things like Yoga for Cancer, which we fund, Moving for Life, which we fund, God's Love We Deliver, delivers meals to women and their families, women who are undergoing treatment for breast cancer. We know that food is medicine, and that women who are going through chemotherapy or have just had surgery might not feel well enough to prepare a nutritious meal for themselves and their family. So we make sure that we do that as well. So the community partners are really critical to ensuring that the mission, which is no one should die from breast cancer, is really fulfilled throughout the greater New York City area.
According to a recent needs assessment survey, the organization found a need among the metastatic breast cancer community.
We know women with metastatic disease feel like either they've done something wrong, or people misunderstand and think that they did something wrong, that they did not adhere to what the doctor said. And we know that that's not true. So we really need to focus on not blaming patients for their disease, for knowing that metastatic disease is really complicated. And the patient might look quite well. That doesn't mean that their joints don't hurt, or that their fingers and toes aren't tingling, or their nails have, on the process of falling off, or they're nauseous, or they have diarrhea. So just being really understanding and calling up the patient, saying, "I'm coming over with a pot of soup," or "I'm freezing soup for you so you don't have to prepare a meal. Can I come sit with you while you're going through your scan? Can I drive you to your scan?" In the metastatic community, they call it scan, treat, repeat. So women who are metastatic will always be in treatment. So for the community or someone in the community to say, "You can beat this," well, there really is no beating. They'll always be in treatment for the rest of their lives. Some women are lucky to be to respond very well to treatment, and they'll be NED, no evidence of disease. But that's not everyone. We know that it's a constant battle against, our tumors returning to my liver, to my brain, to my lungs. And it's but there are so many new treatments, and there is a lot of reasons to be hopeful. We know that there's hopefully a drug that's the FDA has fast-tracked for metastatic triple negative. We know one just actually got not approved, but there has been one that's fast-tracked. So there's a lot of reasons to be hopeful, but there still is a lot of work to be done, because 42,000 women a year are dying from this disease, and that's sad, and it's something that we really need to work on, which Komen does. So Komen headquarters runs a brilliant research portfolio, with a large proportion of that research portfolio is geared towards metastatic disease, because we need to figure out, well, why is the disease recurring? Can we at some point stop that recurrence? And then if there is a recurrence, how can we shrink those tumors in order to extend life? Because the metastatic patients aren't looking for weeks or months. They're looking for years, especially patients who are young, you know, in their 30s. You know, we have a patient we've been working with. She's about 34 with a 2-year-old. And it's just, it's sad. And the treatment can be very toxic if they're not responding to some of the CDK4 inhibitors, which are also toxic. But then if you have to go onto a Taxol, the treatment's rough. So we just need to be sensitive to the fact that, you know, Komen could be pink and survivors, and we want to celebrate women who have, you know, made it through their treatment. And then 1 year, 2 years, and patients will say to me, Linda, when can I relax? And I said, well, I wish I could tell you when. You know, 5 years is great, but we know Olivia Newton-John recurred after how many years? 20 years. So we just encourage women to take care of yourselves, take care of your families, live your best life. And hopefully with the research, at some point, we won't have to worry about that anymore.
Join us next week when we speak with the most decorated Olympic gymnast in American history, Shannon Miller, before she speaks at Cure's Ovarian Cancer Heroes Award Ceremony on March 15th. Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @cure_magazine.